Make yourself at home and do your thing. Let's give Bobby a hand. Welcome him.
Are my wires okay?
Your wires are all good.
Good morning, everyone. You look like a bird that's ready for the worm. Good. I'm blessed by that. Okay. Is my friend here that was healed of that brain tumor? Is that you in the back? No, here. Who will volunteer to go get him? Hey, Ray and Kathy, it's so nice to see you. Now, you behave yourself in church, you understand? Kathy says she's watching you. Guess what happened to me this morning? I went back, you know, to the men's restroom and went inside the stall. And there's these wires. They're trying to make me like some biotic man or something. And believe it or not, I got tangled up back there. I thought, how am I going to get out of this thing? I have some of the craziest things that happens to me when I travel at home. And I thought, wow, maybe I will have to call 911 to come here to get me out of here. I didn't want to disturb Ben, but somehow I was able to get myself all entangled and everything. And came in, I thought, wow, he might be introducing me and I'm not around. I'm all tangled up. I have a friend. You know, I do have some friends. Sometimes, I'm a person of humor. And maybe we haven't had some phone calls for a number of days. And I'll look at Rhonda and I'll say, you know, it's so nice not to have any friends. You know, we don't have to work on character issues. It's just you and I and, you know, those kind of things. We don't have to be worried about giving an impression or whatever it is, you know. And we don't have to work on sanctification. We're just doing it in humor. And she says that to me now sometimes. but anyways, I had a friend. I love humor. And then there are times God allows things to happen that it's really humorous. And he and I are trying to make fun of people that are fat. Besides, the fat belongs to the Lord. And I don't go to the spa and those places. I'm not preaching against that, but I said, well, they're not going to get my fat. The Lord is going to get my fat, because the Bible says the fat belongs unto the Lord. It does say that. And so, you know, if you want to lose weight, I have it really works better than all that stuff they advertise. And it's called fasting, you know. But anyways, this friend of mine, again, I'm not trying to make fun of fat people, but he's real short. I don't know if he's 5'2" or 3", but the only way I could describe him is if you see him walking or coming, he looks like a huge beach ball on these tiny little legs, because it's just the way he's built, all right? That guy can really sing. As a matter of fact, he sang for Catherine Coleman. He seems really tremendous anointing. Well, we were talking about Jesus coming, this conversation. And he sort of chuckled and looked at me and he said, well, Bobby, that he had had a dream about Jesus coming. And he said that all these people were being caught up in the air to meet the Lord in the air. And he said, when he went up, he got tangled up in the telephone wires. And I was just, because of the way he's built, you know, I got so tickled. I was laughing so hard I could hardly contain myself. And he sat there, and he was laughing too about it. And I could just see this real round-looking guy up there in the air, you know, all tangled up, upside down, and he couldn't get untangled and so forth. And we're laughing about it. And while we're laughing about it, the Lord kind of like taps me on the shoulder. The Lord has those ways of tapping me on the shoulder to get my attention. So the Lord was tapping me on the shoulder and said, don't laugh about this dream, even though it sounds funny. The dream is from the Lord. And the telephone wires, you know, it speaks of communication. So then I looked at him and I said, your communication with God is all tangled up. There's some problems in your communication with God, because there was some serious sins in his life that I had tried to help walk him through and get him delivered. And he just kind of, his eyes got big and said, wow. He said, that's God. He said, it is true that his communication with God was all tangled up. So I brought this, my bigger Bible. It's, believe me, it's heavy. I have a heavy word. But I don't know. It's just so different this time being here. I'm just sort of taking it easy and, you know, just as it comes. I don't know if they call that speaking by revelation or what. But that was prophesied over me that it would be that way. It was, and when the prophecy came, I was the one to have this real nice outline, you know, everything real nice, impressive. I don't have that. I mean, I have notes and things. But I really have this thing in my heart that when I go and I minister in times past, you know, I preach healing, salvation, and I still do that. But, you know, here in America, I have this burden and this vision that I could really leave something with the people that they're going to walk in it. And it's kind of like the quarterback handing off the ball to the, what is it, the fullback or running back or whatever. Here, you take it and you run with it. I'm 73 years old and I don't know how much longer I'm going to live. I really live under the mercy of God. So do you. So that, I'm sharing this with you so that you can know where I'm coming from. I'm not interested in getting up here. I could do it. I could get excited with the anointing and jump or whatever and all those things and get people all hyped up, and there's a time for that. But I believe that God wants to impart onto people. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 10, now I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift that to the end you may be established. And for me, that's my desire. And the word that I'm getting this morning as I was sitting there before coming is the Lord wants to take us to another level. I thank God for the levels of the past and the level of the present. But for me, there's more. The Bible talks about going from faith to faith and glory to glory. And I'm going to share with you just a little teeny bit here of my testimony. And I don't want to make it so detailed. Of when I was young, I grew up in Pennsylvania, up in the Appalachian. I would describe myself as a hillbilly. Hillbilly that didn't know any better. I mean, we were like raw heathen, believe me. We were as mean as they come. There were times that they would settle issues with axes and hatchets. Mean people. In my growing up, I grew up in this atmosphere of this meanness. When it comes to church, I hated it with a passion. I thought Sunday was the worst day of the week for me. And that started at a very young age of around, 7 or 8 years old. And I thought that church was so boring. There's no life. I will not name the name of the church, but the only fun that I got out of going to church at a young age is that my cousins, they were alike. And he'd get us together, and we could do some mean things in the name of having fun. So we thought, you know, this church is so boring. There needs to be some excitement around here. So my one cousin would get on one end of the pew, and I would get on the other end of the pew, And we would flip the pew over with and a bunch of people would end up on the floor. Well, a little bit later on, our parents stopped going to church. I don't know if the pastor went and made one of his visitations. And I remember also that the pastor came to our house. And I could recognize, oh, that's the pastor there. So my mother went in the kitchen and got a glass of water. And I thought, well, the pastor's thirsty, so she's going to give him a drink. So they had my sister and I to sit in a chair. And the pastor, he spoke some kind of words that to me, I didn't understand anything at all what he was saying or doing. And he had this glass of water, and he dipped his fingers in, and like that, you know. And as I sat there, I thought, this is so strange to me. I remember sitting there, I don't know, 7 or 8 years old, whatever it was, and I say to myself, I feel like some kind of plant being watered. Now, this is nonsense. But I wouldn't say that, you know. And then as I got older, I began to question this God stuff. And I said, you know, this seems rather weird. What kind of a God is this they talk about? Some kind of God. Some kind of God that's up there somewhere. See, if this God they talk about is so far away, I can't get in touch with him if there is one. And that really bothered me. What kind of God is this that he's so far away that you can't even get in touch with him? See, that was my thinking. And I would sit on the front porch of our house in town, and I would laugh at people on their way to church on Sunday morning. I would think to myself, how ridiculous. What a bunch of weak people. That they use religion as a crutch to lean on, to get some sort of strength of whatever they're getting. And that's not for me. This church stuff is not for me. Zero. At that time, growing up until I was 18 years old, I did not know the person of Jesus. I did not know such a thing, forgiveness. And our family was a foreign word. I never heard about the cross of Jesus. That was foreign to me. Salvation. I never heard the word salvation, redemption. Never. I was like those people in Indian places that never heard the name of Jesus. The only thing I knew about the name of Jesus or God is when I got mad. And I've used the Lord's name in vain. And I didn't know the difference between Jesus and Moses. I'd see pictures on people's walls. Now I know it's supposed to be a picture of Jesus. And I look and I see this person. He's like, always has his sheep with him. So who's that? Who's that supposed to be? Well, ever who he is, he really loves animals. Really, that's how I would think. I don't know who is this person. And I was real shy, and I wouldn't ask questions, but in my mind I would say, who is this person? He is an animal lover, ever who he is. He just seems to have a real love for sheep. And we don't have that many sheep around in Pennsylvania, and I thought, it's rather odd. Why doesn't he love some dogs or some cows and deer, you know? It's always sheep, you know? So that's how I was thinking. And then we had my one uncle. He and his wife became Pentecostals, and the only thing I knew about them was that they were just weird. Because we all, my aunts and uncles, they said, they go to this church down the road there. You know, they hang on the chandeliers and jump the pews and roll on the floors, the holy rollers. And I remember as a young boy, we'd drive by that church in the summertime, and they had no air conditioning in those days, and they always had these double doors open. And I was always wanting to see someone roll on the floor. So every time we'd drive by, I was looking. I hope I see one of them. Maybe I'll see one of them rolling right out the front door. You know what? Later on, after I got saved, I became a part of that church, the Holy Rollers. I really did. I did. And, well, anyway, so then, I thought, well, this, all this God stuff, church stuff, I thought, that's a waste. And then I talked about God taking us from one level to another level of what God wants to bring us into. That's why I'm sharing this. I had no knowledge of God. Zero. I never heard of such thing as Old Testament and New Testament. I didn't know. And then I got saved. And that was wonderful. And so when I got saved, I've been learning all this Christian language, and of course my mouth had to be cleaned up for one of the things. You know, at first I used bad words. But in time to come, that changed. So when I prayed for salvation, they told me, like in those days, I don't know if they're still doing that, they'd always give us this little Gospel of John, remember that? And they encouraged me to start reading in the Gospel of John, because I was just a new convert, and to read the Psalms. So I did. And about 2 weeks after I was saved, I'm in the Navy, and I had what I would call, what's the word, my first supernatural experience with God, if that's the word, supernatural. That when I got in my bunk and I started to, you know, go off into my sleep, I was caught up to heaven. And it's like all night long I was with God in heaven. And at first the Lord, something was happening here, down inside, down in here, like in my belly. All night long, down in here. And then it changed, and God spoke to me, of course, in English, that I could understand. And this is what he said to me. He said, I have many things to say unto you, but you're not able yet to bear them. I never heard such words in my whole life. Never read the words, nothing. And because they told me to start in the Gospel of John, and then when I came out of that vision in the morning, I took notice in John chapter 16, that was part of my devotion, where Jesus said, remember, I have many things to say unto you, but you are not able yet to bear them. How wonderful of God to take a person that did not believe in him, no knowledge of him, to catch them up in the spirit into heaven and to speak words I never heard that's already there in the Bible. So what the Lord was saying to me, we're talking about going from faith to faith and about signs, wonders, and miracles, and I'll share just a few things with you. And God is a God of signs, wonders, and miracles. And remember that the prophet Isaiah said about where God was speaking, says, you know, my mind, my ways are above your ways. My thoughts are above your thoughts. And God is not like man. God wants man to become like what God says we're supposed to be. And so, you know, there are things about God. There's an element of mysticism, mysteries. You know, I love the mysteries of God. You take the Bible and you read, there's mysteries of God. There are times that things happen with people in the Bible that when God was doing it, they didn't understand it. Remember Peter and the sheep with all the different, remember that? And God told Peter, eat. Peter couldn't understand that. No, I can't understand. I won't do that. I'm not eating those kind of unclean things. But it was a God thing. So, so the Lord was saying to me, right? He says, I have things to say unto you, but at this time, you cannot bear it. You don't understand it. And part of the reason I couldn't understand it is because I was in a church that did not believe in what we would call signs, wonders, and miracles. and the supernatural, you know, like that. And so that was part of why I could not enter in and to be taken to another level with God. And that's happening today. There are churches and even what we call spirit-filled churches that don't have the understanding of the, what we call it, supernatural. You understand what I'm talking about? The mysteries of God, this like mysticism. You know what? A lot of people are going for the witchcraft, the palm reading, the New Age, and all those things, and entering into those things. And yet, many of the churches want to stay at a lower level and not enter into what God had it first and to begin with. These other things, they're copies, imitations, and counterfeits of what is very real. And because of those things, people become afraid. I don't want to enter into that because I don't want to get into New Age and you know, into witchcraft and spiritism and all those things. And I was in a church that definitely did not believe in those things. And it made me to be afraid of Pentecostals. You know, I was a very reserved type person. And I could not handle just hand clapping. I thought, that people do this hand clapping stuff, they have some emotional problem. You know, they're unstable. They need counseling. They need to see a psychiatrist. That's too much in church. And then the dancing, that's really taking it too far. And shouting, that hurt on my nerves. You know, we'd be against shouting and yet go home and shout and fight and carry on with one another. You know, in humor, I say, you know, there's some people, they're shouting all the time. They shout in church and they shout at their husband and wives when they go home and their children. That's a little humor. So, you know, some of you may be having some experiences that you don't understand. And I really believe that in these days, there's a real need for mentoring. People that understand these things, they themselves have been mentored. And in our home church, people were coming up to me because it's an arena that I live in. It's natural for me. I didn't ask for it. I entered into that I did not believe in. I've entered into that in which at one time I fought and said it's of the devil and be careful. All that was, you know, because I was taught that's of the devil. Be careful of that. That's of the devil. Be careful. And you know, every time these people would say these kind of things, didn't have any scriptures. And I have learned to be like the Bereans. If I see something I don't understand, something is happening to me, I may not understand it, go to the Bible. Search out the scriptures to find out if it's of God or not of God. So in our home church down at Manna Church in Fayetteville, there were different people that were coming up to me and saying, Bobby, we know that you operate in the supernatural, and we've watched you, and it's been good, and it's been fruitful, and we've seen the results and et cetera. And would you mentor us? We want to have time with you so we can learn and you can share your experiences and the Word of God and all these things. And my wife kept saying to me for some time, honey, you need to start mentoring other people to give unto them the things that God has given unto you. So I met with Pastor Fletcher and I shared it with him. And he said, I think that would be good. What shall we call it, Michael? And I had some suggestions, and he has that way of sitting back in his chair and rolling his head back, and he says, I know what we'll call it. We'll call it operating in the supernatural, all right? And I said, all right. So then, you know, we started having these sessions on Tuesday nights, and we got a lot of wonderful people, so hungry for God. But we also got people that were really whacked out. I mean, really weird. You may have met a few here and there. I mean, weird. I mean, some of the weirdest ideas of spirituality. And they came. They didn't last too long because I would not let them operate with their weirdness in the group. We loved them. But when they discovered that I was not going to let them operate and bring so much attention to themselves, that was not the place for them. And so anyways, the leaders, the elders, the managers, you know, they would tease me. You know what they'd say to me? They'd say, "Bobby, you get the ones we don't want. But we know you know how to handle them, and we feel confident and good, because you've got them, brother. If we don't have them, we don't have to mess around with them." And we did everything we could to love them and try to encourage them the things of God. And there's humor to this. I laughed when it happened. Sometimes when I would be going to go out somewhere ministering, I would let Rhonda fill in, or some others. But this one time I had Rhonda to fill in for me. So when I got back from the trip, this is so neat. I came to the group and was going to teach, and they were all kind of laughing and sort of teasing me. And they said, "You know, Rhonda, you should have heard the teaching that Rhonda gave." But they wouldn't tell me what she taught. But they were like kind of teasing me and laughing. And I got so curious, what did she teach? And she wouldn't tell me. I would say, "What did you teach?" She said something like, "I ain't telling you." They wouldn't tell me. She wouldn't tell me. So one day, I was walking by the kitchen, and I saw on the counter this cassette tape. And it happened. Maybe she purposely put it there. I don't know. But it had a title for what she shared, "How to Live with Someone That Has Not Planted Their Feet on Planet Earth." So if any of you are married with someone like that, you know, she's very practical, very down to earth, and I'm kind of like, you know, sometimes it takes me a long time to get something done in the house. I can be there doing something, and I'm with the Lord, speaking wonderful things. I just stop what I'm doing, because I want to be like Samuel, who let none of the words of the Lord fall to the ground. I find it so important that when God is speaking to us, get it, what He's sharing. So, and let me tell you this, any of you that would move in the arena of what we're talking about, there's the angelic activity. I believe that before Jesus returns, it's already started happening, before He returns, that there's going to be a greater release of angelic activity. Because when you read in the book of Revelation, it's full of angelic activity. I don't know how many of you, if you've ever seen an angel, but the first time I saw an angel, I was praying in the church in Texas. I like to walk back and forth in the aisle. And an angel walked right through the door. Right through the front door. I walk in toward the door because I go down the center aisle. And an angel, he's about 8 feet tall. And he come walking right toward me. I got so scared. I turned around and I took off. I was running as fast as I could run. I ran and I jumped in the bed and I pulled the blanket over myself as if, you know, I could hide from an angel. I did. And then some years later on out in Kansas City, they were at Holiday Inn having a leadership, you know, they met for lunch at that particular time. And a friend of mine, he was prophesying and pointing people out. And I remember he was pointing someone out in the front, and all of a sudden, and this angel, I think it was that same angel, he's about 8 feet tall. All of a sudden, he turned to me this way, pointing his finger right at me, because we were sitting at these round tables, pointing his finger right between my eyeballs. I got so scared. I kind of went, I wanted to go right under the table. And the angel spoke and said, "You're next." And I'm going, "Oh God." You know, I repented real quick of everything I could. That was the biggest, the deepest repentance. I said, "Oh God, cleanse me, cleanse me, cleanse me, cleanse me. Lord, I repent, I repent, I repent, Lord. I repent, oh God, I repent." And then Michael Sullivan, my friend, he's prophetic, and so the angel is pointing, and Michael finished, and he turned, and he goes like that, "Bobby," and began to prophesy the word of the Lord. And a lot of it's about the presence of God and angelic activity and about miracles and signs and wonders and miracles and just God just showing up in wonderful ways. And God is a God of signs. I shared just a few with you. I wanted to share more scriptures, but I felt like God was saying, just share from your heart and some of your experiences, and then, you know, quote some scriptures. God is so unique in ways that we're talking about the visitations of the Lord. I personally believe that the church in America is in great need of a real visitation of the Lord. We have a lot of wonderful teaching. I heard it said, we have only all word, we blow up. We dry up. And if we have only all spirit, we blow up. We need the spirit and the truth to grow up. It's not one or the other. And I believe there's a real need for what I would call the manifestation of the Holy Spirit within the church, as it was on the day of Pentecost. Remember how that the Spirit was poured out. And have you ever taken notice that when the Holy Spirit is poured out, there's different responses, different reactions among people. On the day of Pentecost, there were those they ridiculed. They made fun. They made it to be like a joke. There were the others, they didn't understand it. What meaneth this? Others, they were in doubt. There were those that said, the wonderful works of God. And whenever God moves by His Spirit, there will be all those different kind of reactions. And I'm not going to sit around and wait for everything just to get perfect, hoping that everybody is excited and is agreeing with what's happening. Because there are people, they don't want to go that way with God. I think one of the biggest enemies to the manifestations of God and what we're talking about is the religious spirit. Because it was the religious people and the religious leaders, along with the Gentiles, that crucified Jesus. They were the ones that opposed Jesus. Someone would get healed. They'd get all upset about it and want to throw Jesus out of the town. And while they were sitting around in all of their theology, and don't take me wrong, I'm not against theology. I love good sound teaching. I love R.T. Kendall and different ones. A.W. Tozer, different ones. Really good, solid teaching. Reminds me, I know Katrina, you read R.T. Kendall, wasn't it? But he has this one book on the anointing, and I had to tell this to you because there's some humor to it. He was telling that he grew up in the hills of Kentucky. And he was among the Pentecostals. And he was telling that when the Holy Spirit would really move, you know, there's that anointing, the presence of God. You know, you've experienced it. We go, whoa, whoa, yeah, God, you're here. We have those times, don't we? Or when we're alone at home and we're praying, you know, like, and that. So he was sharing how when the Spirit would just start moving real strong in a corporate way, the men, they would shake their heads like that. I've been in some churches and scared me and I didn't go back. And they would shake their heads and their hair would be down over their face like that. And then when they felt the anointing, as they would call it, the anointing lifted, you know, then they would go like that. They'd throw their hair back, you know, in place. Well, there was this one man, he would do just like the rest of the other men. He was bald. He didn't have any hair. And he'd shake his head just like all the others, and then he'd go like that. As if he had hair in his head. He didn't have any hair in his head. You know, it's something how that we can become like other people or try to be like them. But as I said last night, God just simply wants us to be what he's called us to be and not try to be like someone else. I'm talking about different ways, signs, wonders. You know, a sign is not to draw attention unto itself, but it's to point us into the direction that we're supposed to go in. We don't want to be so just caught up in only signs and wonders and miracles and to be just only chasing after that, but that's to follow the ministry that we have. Remember in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20? You know, these signs will follow them. I believe these, you know, to speak with new tongues, and if they drink any deadly thing, and praying for the sick and they'll recover. Remember that? Those are some of the signs. But there's other signs in which God can speak to us in everyday living, in the natural. I have times where I'd just be driving along, and I'd be thinking about something, about the Lord, and I'd look over and I'd see a billboard or a sign on a building, and it was the exact words of what I had in my mind. I said, whoa, that's God speaking to me. Or I'd turn the radio on, and I'd have a thought in my mind. I'd turn the radio on, and there's a guy saying the very thought that I'm having in my mind. I said, whoa, it's God speaking to me. Like that. I remember one time, I was thinking about fasting. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Fasting. What I'm thinking about, there's a book that I really like very much. Some of you may have read it. It's by Jack Deere called Surprised by the Voice of God. Do you have that, Ray, Brother Ray and Kathy? Surprised by the Voice of God? Because I know you, as I'm speaking, he's on the edge of a seat. Because I know I can see that you're very interested in that. I recommend that you get that book and read it. Very good. I recommend all of you get that book. Surprised by the Voice of God. It's what we're talking about, this arena of supernatural signs, wonders, and miracles. A wonderful book. It's a lot of scriptures. Very good, very solid. Very good teacher. And there's other materials out there. But anyways, I was thinking about fasting. So, isn't it interesting to think about fasting and praying, and you go over and find yourself sitting down and turn the computer on? So I went over and I sat down, and all I did was I pushed on like that to turn the computer on. I'm not looking for anything in particular. And three words, great big words, came across the screen of the computer, and the three words read, "Fasting is good." That's like handwriting on the wall. Wow. All right. Yes, Lord, I get the message. I'm going to fast and pray. Hallelujah. I'm going to afflict Bobby Marks. You know, most of America and the churches, we love comfort. We love the goosey-gooseys and all that. We love that, right? But what about affliction? We don't like affliction. God, deliver me from this affliction. We like comfort zone too much in America. We love the comfort zone. One time the Lord spoke to my heart, and I was fasting, and he said, "Son, to the measure that you afflict yourself, to that measure, I'm going to deliver other people from all the terrible afflictions." And you know what he said to me? "I have called you to a life of affliction." Because there's such blessing when we understand of afflicting ourselves by fasting and praying. And there's the hunger pains and so forth. You know, one time, and I'm going to encourage you to do this. I believe very much about, some people call it soaking, saturation, being marinated with the Holy Ghost. I don't want it. Someone's going to put my head under just a little dip. Just it takes to get my head in the Holy Ghost River. You put me down there, and you keep me down there a long time. I want to be saturated. I want to be soaked. I want to be crammed full of the Holy Spirit. My wife was telling me, I think I said it last night, she was getting concerned. She says, honey, I just feel so dry. I've been dry. And inside I'm going, hallelujah, this is wonderful. And I encouraged her. I said, that's good. Because when you get so empty like that and so dry, empty, that's what God's looking for. Because sometimes we get so full of this and that. Isn't that true? So full of this and that. And it's not just evil, bad things. It can be good things. Cutting back on things we see on TV. I've given thought, if we would take even a tenth of the time that we'd be on the TV and agree to come together in prayer at the church, what God would do. Just to take that little bit of that portion. Another time I was on this fast, it was a winter time. Up in Michigan, a friend of ours had this cabin, and of course there was heat, and it was a prolonged fast. And what I like to do is I like to get CDs, and back in those days it was cassette tapes, and books and materials. And while I'm fasting and praying, just saturate myself with reading these biographies about the signs, the wonders, and the miracles, and scriptures, and just going through scriptures over and over, just meditating. Yes, Lord, soak me, God. Soak me with your word. Soak me with your spirit. Because, Lord, when I come out of this, I'm going to be returning into a world of affliction. Into a world where people are dying of cancers. Like our brother, he's not here this morning. You know his testimony and others. Into a world of people that are in such bondage to sin like that. Lord, like the Bible says, when Jesus, this 40 days of fasting was ended, he returned in the power of the Spirit. So I had a cassette tape I put into the TV. Have you ever heard of Catherine Coleman? Well, let me tell you. The first time I heard of Catherine Coleman, not knowing that it was her at first, because I back in the 60s, I'd turn my radio on and I would hear A.A. Allen. And one of the things in his radio ministry, he would make these announcements for an upcoming tent meeting. We're going to have a 3-week time of praying and fasting. Whoa. A 1-week time of fasting and praying. And there were people that loved that ministry and followed that ministry. And it was like there was an army of people that were involved in this fasting and this praying. I tell you, you get an army of people that are sincere, serious, fasting and praying, God is going to show up. I had the privilege and the blessing of interviewing a man, as I mentioned last night. I was in his home, and I copied it on cassette. I have it at home. His first name is Ed, started with a G. I think he's probably dead by now, because that was back in the... So I interviewed him. I asked him questions. And he'd been in all kinds of meetings. People were coming off their death cots. Wheelchairs, incredible miracles. And I said, Ed, I know that with your very own eyes that you have seen tremendous outpourings of the Spirit under those tents. Would you tell me what was the greatest outpouring in a meeting that you saw taking place? You thought a little bit. Said, yes. We were having a meeting with the Indians out, I think it was in Arizona. He said they came like the way Indians would dress, you know, their moccasins and their Indian way of dress, and he said, what happened is that they got to dancing and worshiping the Lord. He said, those Indians could whoop it up. He said, you get those Indians excited. He said, they would whoop it up. They'd be dancing and shouting, woo, 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 woo. You like that? You ever been in those kind of meetings? People are so excited. I think we need some of this in these days, don't you? We're just, what do they call it? Cut the rug. Just cut loose. He said, they were just really kind of, woo, woo, woo. They were dancing. And in those days, they had what they called the sawdust. He said, those Indians, they danced so vigorously, so hard, with all their might. You know, like David says, he danced with all his might. It wasn't some nice little... No, I mean, they danced with everything. He said, they danced so hard, he said, they couldn't even see one another. The dust was so thick. And the people that came into the meeting, they were in wheelchairs, they were on cots, almost dead. See, in those days, they brought people, they were actually dying. I have videos of these kind of happenings. Blind eyes, deaf ears, the dumb, the people that troubled in their mind, every kind of crazy activity going on. And he said, when these Indians were so worshiping God and dancing before the Lord, when the dust settled, every wheelchair was empty. Every cot was empty. The people that were on the cots, they were up also dancing. The people in wheelchairs, they weren't just trying to walk. They were dancing with real vigor. The power of God, the healing of God, the demonstration of God. I want to see these things more. And when this happens, I'm going to tell you, people start weeping before the Lord. Unsaved, the hardest of sinners, drunkards and mean people break down and start weeping because of what Jesus Christ is doing. And Jesus has shown up in those kind of meetings and showing compassion to these sick and suffering people. Oh, back to that, and I was that fast. I had to put in this tape of Catherine Coleman. And I don't know why, but different times the Lord uses a computer or TV to minister to me. And I had that on there about Catherine Coleman. She was the first time I ever heard about Catherine Coleman, my friend told me, the one that sang in the meetings. He told me about it. He said she did a lot of fasting. She always carried this little container of fruit juice and it would have it on the piano and drink it once in a while during the meeting. Well, anyways, I'm in the middle of this prolonged fast and they're sitting watching and just, Lord, yes, yes, God, yes, do it. Look, do it in our generation. Just crying out to God. Yes, Lord, do it again. Do it in our generation. Do it. Raise up different ones, ministers. I mean, just one-on-one within the community, within this, the place here where you live. Just even one-on-one, meeting people out in the street or in the mall, you know, praying for people. And as I was watching that, all of a sudden, a ball of fire exploded out of that TV. And I just doubled over. The impartation. God wants to give to us in these days impartation. I was sharing with, I forget who it was with. Maybe it was Katrina. Thank God for teaching. But I've been concerned, and it's wonderful teaching. We have a very good teaching pastor. The things that he gets and shares in the pulpit, you're sitting there and you're going, whoa. Isn't that right, Ray and Cassie? Whoa. This is good. But I think, I don't want to sound mean or critical, that we need more than just knowledge and just teaching. We need the visitations of God, the impartation of God, of what they experienced in the Bible and throughout history. I want the impartation from God. In dreams, the Bible talks about like Abraham and Joseph and, you know, different ones. The Apostle Paul, the Bible says how the Lord appeared to them in a dream. The Lord appeared. For me, most of the impartations and visitations of the Lord, it comes in my sleep. Now, I get, when I'm awake in meetings, I mean, since being here, I'm sitting back there, I said, Lord, I just feel tenderized by God. And I don't know if I could even speak. But I do. Because, you see, there's His presence. And His presence brings real tenderizing of the heart. I'm going to close in a little bit because, we're, you know, we're creatures of time. And are you hungry for Him? Do you long for Him and for the Lord just to really show up? There was a man named Jack Cole. Now, I'm talking about you. I know I'm talking about people that had these most powerful ministries that a lot of people won't have. And there are the Jack Coles and, you know, the different ones. And not everyone is one of them. I'm very much aware of that, and you are too. But what I'm saying is just be you, what God has called you to be, and in your community. In Fayetteville, I go out shopping in JCPenney's or whatever. And I see someone that's sick. I want to pray for them. Could I pray for you? And I have discovered that most of the time the people are polite and they say, oh, yes, you can pray for me. Don't get real spiritual about it. And say, well, I've got to have this whatever it is that God may never even give. Just do it. But Jack Cole was shared with me, and these are things that are happening right here in America. And my heart is, Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. Revival, restore unto us. Restore to us that the church has lost. Lord, have I lost anything? Has Bobby Marsh lost anything? And if so, show me what needs to be restored in my life. There were 100 people lined up in the wheelchair, Dallas, Texas. The Spirit of the Lord, I believe in this about the Spirit of the Lord coming on a person. Because Samuel prophesied to Saul and said, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you'll be turned into another man. You want to be turned into another man? Doing things that you had not done before? Prophesying? Moving in the gift of word of knowledge and the different gifts of the Spirit, he'll do it. Jacko, the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and he literally ran by those 100 wheelchairs, pulling people out one after another, like that, running, not stopping, wearing the poor person out, oh Lord, thou knowest, oh God. Oh. I've had times people had their hands on my head, and I wouldn't say it out loud, I didn't want to offend them, but in my heart I'd say, Lord, would you just please stop them? Lord, they're wearing me out. Lord, they're making me so tired. And Lord, they're calling out so many demons and demons that I've never even heard of. The devil's got some new ones that were created. And all those people came out of those wheelchairs except for two. When they came out, they were dancing and praising God. William Branham, he was a man that was very mystical. He averaged 100 visions a day, they say, about 100. He lived in the realm of visions, powerful visions. He, Gordon Lindsay, and a few other men, they went up to a conference in Seattle, Washington, and on their way up there, they were reading Smith Wigglesworth's Apostle of Faith. And by the time they got there, boy, they were pumped. They were ready. And when they got up there, we and Brandon would stay in the back room and be praying. Because he didn't want to get out there and people were coming up to him wanting to talk to him. He didn't want to be distracted. And what happened, there were about 200 people in this wheelchair section. And Brother Branham came walking. It was so crowded, the only place for him to walk was in between the wheelchairs. And when he walked, he was carrying this anointing and presence of God. And all of those 200 people jumped up out of the wheelchairs and started walking and running. Just carrying the presence of God. Now, I know I'm sharing with you what we would call real spectacular. And Bobby, you're giving us a spiritual Buck Rogers. Don't give us that. Come on, brother. Be practical and down to earth. I believe that before Jesus returns here in America, there's going to be great, powerful moves of God. I don't believe this is some kind of fantasy thing that I'm giving you. You can think that if you want to, but I'm not going to believe that for myself. Remember I shared with you last night about that, hearing the audible voice of God? I forgot to share with you about 3 weeks after that, then I'm going to be stopping. Again, I had a dream. And it was my friend Michael Sullivan, Kansas City. And in the dream, he's talking to me like a prophetic word. And this is what he said to me. Bobby, that other dream that you had, when you saw the glory of God and all those wonderful things happening, you cannot see those things happen until you deal with some certain distractions in your life. The word of the Lord to me in the dream was, deal with some distractions in your life. Deal, not first, Lord, I'm going to see signs and wonders and miracles. Deal with the distractions. Deal with that first. And then the other will come. No shortcut. Deal. No. What is it? That scripture, all have sinned and what? Come short of the glory of God. I think we still may have some sins and distractions that causes us to come short of His glory. I'm moving this stand here because we're going to have an invitation. Tonight, I plan to share with you on the word believe. And some of you may not be able to be here. Are they taping this? Is it a... If anybody wants to get the tape for tonight, is there any way? Put it on the website, okay? And I'll share about Costa Rica. We believe that God's going to do much more in Costa Rica. It's just only a beginning. I'm dealing with distractions in my life, and I know what they are. It's so easy to get so distracted. We can have good intentions. We could come up to the front here and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to pray more. Yes, Lord, I'm going to do this and that. But we need to really follow through and just do it. You know, it's so easy to get into a meeting such as this morning and you just feel that stirring excitement and desire. Yes, I want to do it. Yes, I'm going to do it. Then turn right around and go home. And before we know it, back to the same life. God wants us to be like Abraham. When the birds came and tried to get the sacrifice, he beat them off. We need to know how to be tough with distractions. I'm not going to go into the details of this dream. I had a powerful dream about God moving. And there were people that were calling praying and fasting legalism and distraction. And I've asked people, what is legalism? I haven't had anyone to describe to me what legalism really is. And yet it's so easy to say, oh, legalism, I don't want to get into works. And then I would say, well, if you don't want to get into legalism and into works, then what are you into? You know, praying is work. There's travail and there's laboring, entering in, being persistent. Praying when like nothing seems to be happening. This one church in California, it was so unusual. They lost oh, they lost so many people to cancers. It's almost like, don't become a part of that church, you might get one of their cancers. That's how bad it was. It's a large church. But they got the vision to pray that God would show up. And while they're praying, people are dying of cancers. That could be discouraging. God, what's the matter? Why don't you answer our prayers? Lord, we've been fasting and praying, and no healings. Not one healing, not even one. But you know what? They had the vision for the breakthrough that it will happen. It will happen. Not, will it happen? Maybe it will happen. No. They had the vision. It will happen. Say that. Can we all in unison for the church right here? Say it now. It will happen. Hallelujah. It is happening in a measure. So what happened with that church, I mean, month after month, these people are crazy. They keep praying for these sick people. Nothing's happening. Then you know what happened one day? They got a report of a person who was healed of cancer. Then another person. And then another one later on, another. And that church had the testimony, something like 85 or 90% of the people with cancers that are prayed for are healed. See, God took them from that to that. And I believe that if I could put it this way, do you think, I was going to call you Dan, Don, I mean, Ben there, and Rick, I mean, Ray, here we go. Doesn't it seem like this morning that what God is saying to us to the next level? Am I right? So if you're in the back there on the tape and not wondering what we should call this, just say the next level. I can't believe it's that time. It's not fair. Real quick. Can I share it real quick? I'm not a good singer. I'm so glad the Bible says make a joyful noise. You I think you have such a beautiful voice singing. Thank you. That's beautiful. That's a gift from God. Wow. If I sat beside you and sang, I would torment you. Actually, they asked me to be in the choir when I was first saved because they needed people in the choir. I said, I can't sing. They said, we'll teach you. I said, I can't sing. They said, sorry, just be patient. We'll teach you. I thought, they don't know what they're getting. So I went up there, and I was hating every minute of it. And the choir director, she was going around to each person and listening, trying to find out where this funny noise was coming from. It really happened. She's going to person, this funny noise. Where's this funny noise? It's really different. And finally, she got to me, and she looked at me, and she says, you just can't sing, can you? And I says, well, this is a confirmation. I told you I couldn't sing. And she says, well, you take your seat. When they told me to take my seat, I was so happy. I thought, hallelujah, my day of deliverance has come. And I'm not a good singer at all. My wife, I love to hear her sing. I mean, I do sing, but oh my. There's another brother. He's just as bad as I am. And we sit together sometimes. Oh my. If you want to get a seat, just get one. It's empty. But anyways, I had this dream. I got to close with this. That I was singing in tongues. Oh, if I could sing in church. Whew, the way I sang in that dream. Whoa, singing in tongues. And I was going from different levels. You know, getting off, getting back on the elevator, going up. All, just seemed like all night to me. And the last level I got off on, guess what? I stepped into heaven. Oh, no words to describe. I was singing like an opera-type voice, you know? Whoa. I was going, like, whoa, worshiping God, singing in tongues. And God was showing me that singing in tongues and praying in tongues is very important in going to the next level with God. Let's stand. I've got to stand before I get another wind or whatever you want to call it. For those of you that want to go to the next level, now first of all, if there's anyone here this morning, I don't know, I see some new faces. And if you really want to come to Jesus for salvation, you come contact Pastor Don, I mean Pastor Ben, like that. And you're an elder, aren't you? This brother, I don't know your name. or, you know, just let someone know, say, I really want to turn to Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. I haven't been following Jesus this morning. You can come up here, just mix in with the rest of us. God has more for you than I. Can you feel the heart of God? Can you feel what's going on in His heart for this world? Did you slip out of your seat and come forward? And you're saying, I want more of God. I want the impartation from God for whatever ministry that you have. God has a particular ministry for you. It may not be like the person standing next to you. It could be just a one-on-one, which is so needed, because you can have the big name, if I call it big name ministries, come to the city. They're there for a few days and gone. But the church is still here. And the world needs the church. The world needs you and needs I and needs me to go to them with God's anointing to lay hands on them. Wherever you are, slip out of your seat and come forward. I know that we have altar calls and invitations. Lord, just visit us. We're in such a desperate need. We're poor and needy, Lord. Our country so desperately needs you. Where would it be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, if you tarry? Lord, we stand before you. Father, we repent of allowing our souls to get so cluttered. Thank you that you're not condemning us for our allowing these things to happen. You're such a tender God, such a merciful, tender God. God of no condemnation, calling us to yourself. To first of all, show us your heart, O God. What's going on in your heart, Lord? That we would be like David, a man after God's own heart. Not just things and a bunch of things or even just manifestations. And just the feelings. But after you, O God, your very person, Father, to know you, to know you, Lord, as your servant Paul says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Thank you, Father. You know each person, Lord. Each person, each calling, each gifting is different from one another. Thank you, Father, for imparting, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit of God, Spirit of the living God, this God of compassion, this God of signs and wonders and miracles, that arena, Lord, that you want us to enter into, as your servant Job prophesied, and Peter remembered that, in the last days, how you would pour out your spirit, signs, wonders, and miracles, sons and daughters would prophesy. The old men would have dreams and the young men would have visions. That realm of the revelatory. Thank you, Lord, for imparting when we lay hands on the people, God. Lord, we are not here just for some charismatic thrill moment. We're not seeking just for some kind of a momentarily thrill a moment. And Lord, we're here for the long haul, for our whole life, Lord. Thank you, Father. Ben, if you want to help lay on the hands, you can point me some there. I'm willing to pray for you too. And don't forget tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll share about Costa Rica and some other things and about believing. And it'll tie in with praying also, but believing. Okay, thank you, Father. If there are those of you that can't be here tonight, but try to really make your way as much as possible. And thank you, Lord. So now, Lord, we just thank you for releasing your precious Holy Spirit, oh God. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, let there be the impartation of